Good morning, everybody. How is everybody doing today? Thank you, Twyla, for reading that very long passage. I really do appreciate it because that is a very important passage and it is a very dear passage to my heart because it is something that often people toss out saying that God did not create the earth. They often say that it was a big bang or they try to throw science in it. Well, guess what? God created science and it doesn't contradict his word. Let us open up with prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the way that you created creation all around us. I thank you for the way that you created us. Thank you for the blessings that you've given us as well. I thank you for the beautiful weather, the promise of spring. I thank you for your goodness. I pray that you be with us as we dig into your word today, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would draw us to yourself, and that you would reveal yourself to us in a new way, Lord. I thank you for the way that you love us and for the way that you guide us as well. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, I'm going to be speaking on the majesty of God. For those of you that remember, I preached on Christmas Eve one evening a couple years back, and my entire message was pretty much just reading God's word. I find that my words can be in void. Sometimes when I speak, it can be taken the wrong way. Sometimes when I speak, it can be misunderstood. Well, there's one person who speaks that when he speaks, it goes deep. And the only way it can be misunderstood is if you aren't listening to it. The only way for me to really give you a true idea of the majesty of God is by reading his word. So most of this message is going to be me taking you on a journey. As you can see, I have many sticky notes. I'm going to take you on a journey through the Bible from the start until the end. To start, I want to say that the majesty of God is something that we often don't fully grasp and we don't fully respect. I asked a few people earlier this week, if they could answer a few questions for me. Some gave me some answers right away, some gave me some answers this morning, and one person said, "You're a cop." I've learned that I don't talk to cops. said, I plead the fifth, which is okay. The questions are, have you seen God? What do you believe about God? What do you think about God? And what does it mean to fear God? So as I read these scriptures, I invite you to think and meditate on these questions. Sometimes I find that I enjoy audiobooks. Reading is not a strong suit. It is a marvelous thing to close your eyes when scripture is being read to you, to envision in your mind what the scriptures are describing. So I invite you, if you want, to close your eyes. Don't fall asleep. It's a very interesting sermon. I know. I prepped it, you know. So keep those questions in mind. Have you seen God? What do you believe about God? What do you think about God? And what does it mean to fear God? So we just read in Genesis chapter 1 that God was, and I quote, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." He did it in 6 days. He created everything in 6 days. So God is a creator. I was thinking of getting some pictures of stuff, and then Amanda asked me this morning, I don't like having to rely on that. We've all seen the northern lights. What is more beautiful than lights in the skies just dancing? We see God's character, and we see his personality in creation. How long does it take for us to create something? Does anybody have an answer? Can we actually create anything? Just a question for you to ponder. There was nothing. There was just God. And yet then he spoke and it was everything around us. We can't even visit the entire world in 6 days, yet he created the entire universe in 6 days. I want you to understand, it takes us 5 months to get to Mars. 5 months. And that's Mars. That's just the closest planet. God created the entire universe in 6 days. So, lots of us know the story. It goes, after God created the earth, there was Adam and Eve that were created. And not too long after God created everything, Adam and Eve did that which destroyed the beautiful creation that God had made. They sinned. They turned on God. So now that caused a separation between God and man because there was sin. So they went from walking in the garden with God to not walking with God in the garden. So now we're going to jump to Exodus, to a point where God descends upon a mountain. And again, I want you to understand that this is, we're talking about the majesty. Who can yell out an answer about what does majesty mean? Anybody have an answer for that? Pardon me? Over everything? Anything else? Awesomeness. That's a good one. So we're going to jump to Genesis chapter 19, verses 10 through 13. And I invite you, if you want to join in and follow along, you can. I'm going to be going pretty quick. I read it last night and it took me about 15 minutes. So we're going to try and keep it short. So Genesis chapter 19, verses 10 through 13. Exodus, not Genesis. Exodus. Thank you, Matt. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, 'Take heed to yourselves, that you do not go up to the mountain or touch it or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near to the mountain.'" Now we jump to Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 through 21. "Now all the people witnessed the thundering and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, 'You speak with us and we will hear you, but let not God speak with us, lest we die.' And Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin.' So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was." Now we jump to Exodus 24, verses 9 through 10. "Then Moses went up, also Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And then they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone. And it was like the very heavens in its clarity. But on the nobles of the children of Israel, he did not lay his hand. So they saw God, and they ate, and they drank." And now jump down to verse 16. "Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Now we jump to where Moses comes down from the mountain. In Exodus 34, 28 through 35. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregations returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put a veil on his face again, until he went in to speak with him. What would our reaction be if we were to witness God descending on a mountain? Have you ever been in the middle of a storm when the thunder is so loud that you can't hear yourself think? The lightning is flashing and it's making everything as bright as daylight, blinding it so bright. Have we ever witnessed anything like that? What happens when you're in the middle of a massive storm? What creeps in? Fear. There's somebody in this church that I heard a story that got to sit in a stadium when a tornado went through. Now imagine a storm so much greater because it's God descending on a mountain. Would we not fear and tremble because of how powerful he is? Have you ever seen someone's face shine like the sun? I haven't. You guys are all kind of, oh yeah, I've seen that every day. I have not. I can't imagine. Just 40 days of being with God, and Moses' face was shining to the point where people feared, and they asked him to put a veil. Not only is God our God and Creator, he is our King. What do kings have? Crowns? What else does a king have? Power? What else does a king have? Respect? When you go to speak to a king, where do you go? The throne room. Has anyone ever gone to a throne room? I haven't. I honestly haven't. I wish I could go to Buckingham Palace to see the throne room. I'm sure it would be very, very cool and very interesting to see. Well, now we're entering into the Creator God and King. We're going to enter into his throne room. People that have gone into his throne room and been shown visions of his throne room. We turn to Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to one another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now let's jump to Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. And above the firmament over their heads was the likeness of a throne, in the appearance like sapphire stone. On the likeness of a throne was like this, was like the appearance of a man high above it. Also from the appearance of his waist and upward, I saw as it were the color of amber with the appearance of fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his waist and down, I saw as it were the appearance of fire with brightness all around. Like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. This is the throne room that God dwells in. Take note that it isn't saying that it was a rainbow. It doesn't say that it was fire. It merely says it was in the likeness of. We don't have words that can describe how amazing he is or his throne room. Now let's go to Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 through 14. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery steam issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was sealed and the books were opened. Now let's go back to Daniel chapter 3. We've gone into God's throne room. We've gotten a glimpse of his throne room. Now let's get a glimpse of God. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. The king Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Where else have we heard about the Son of God? Any answers? It's a more common place that people turn to. It's the New Testament. I would go into the Christmas story, but Christmas preaches, during Christmas time, we preach enough about Jesus' birth. Not that we can preach too much about Jesus' birth, but I trust that most of you understand that God came down as a baby and was born. Now we're going to jump to the whole purpose and the whole reason that Jesus came to earth. We're going to jump to Matthew chapter 27, verses 54. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Now we jump to John chapter 19, verses 28 through 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, and said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a spear, and put it to his mouth. So when they had received, or so when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Interesting that he said, "It is finished." This isn't a, "It is finished, now I'm dead and this is done." No, this is a victorious, "It is finished. I have won." Now we jump back to Matthew 28, where the final and completion of victory is sealed. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they ran, or as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice!" So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Rejoice, for our Lord is risen. Not only is our God a creator, not only is he the only God, not only is he a king, but he was humble enough to come and die for us, for our sin, for something that we screwed up. And then not only did he die, but he rose again." Now, if you remember back in Genesis chapter 1 when Twyla was reading, it starts off with, "In the beginning, God." Now let's go to Revelation chapter 1, verses 8. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." God never began and he will never end. He was, he came, and he is coming again. Revelation chapter 20, verses 9 through 15. Then they went up to the brethren, or to the breadth of the earth, and surrounding the camp of the saints in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. This is after Satan has come and deceived all the nations after being bound for 1,000 years. They came because they had the audacity to think that a created being, just like this very phone, could come and rule me. They came and they stood before God and said, "We're coming to get you." And what happened? God responded with fire. "The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the book. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and the death of Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. And the death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Jesus said words saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The good deeds that are being talked about here are the good deed of trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. We just read about what happens when you don't trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We often talk about heaven and we talk about the greatness of it, but bear in mind that not everybody is going. We need to make sure that we are sharing with others that this is coming. If we look back in Isaiah, it spoke of the thousands and thousands and the 10,000s and 10,000s standing before the throne. This is that point, that part of Scripture being fulfilled. Standing before the throne as the books are opened up. Now I ask you again those questions that we started off with. Have you seen God? Who here has seen God? We've seen Him in the Word. When you look at creation, do you see God? You see His personality. You see His blessing. Farmers, how many farmers are out there? Could you accomplish farming without God? Can you make it rain? No. Contrary to what science thinks that they can make it rain, God is still in control. If God wants it to rain, it will rain. If God does not want it to rain, it will not rain. And not only do we see God in creation, but we see God through Jesus Christ. Now, what do we believe about God? Does anybody have an answer to shout out? He's the beginning and the end. Any others? He has all the power. I believe that He created all things. I believe that He knows all things. I believe that He is in control of all things. I believe that He is the only and one true God. I believe that He has won, and I believe that He is coming again. What do we think about God? Do we think that we can just waltz up and speak to God? We can speak with Him, yeah. At the cost, we can walk up and talk to God, the King of Kings, the Creator of everything, at the cost of His own Son. I think that we often take God for granted, and we don't give Him credit for all that He has given us in our lives. We don't realize how involved in our lives He really is. I also think we don't respect Him or hold Him in a high enough esteem in our lives. If we did, we would want to spend every day and every moment with Him. But we don't. What does it mean to fear God? To respect Him. If I wanted to go and talk to King Charles and start a conversation with him, how would I start that conversation? Can I just walk up to Buckingham Palace and say, I want to talk to King Charles. And I'm going to tell him all about what I want because he's the king and he's going to help me figure out and solve my problems. And you know what? When King Charles says no, well, he can't do that. He has to answer my question. He has to give me the answer that I want. And when King Charles says no, I'm going to tell him off and get mad at him. How does that work? Doesn't work. You wouldn't even get through the door. Yet somehow we have the audacity to go and speak to the King of Kings, the one true King, the God that created everything, the Lord of Lords, the one who, when he descends upon a mountain, it shakes. We walk up to him and we bring our requests to him. And when he gives us an answer we don't like, we have the audacity to get mad at him. We have the audacity to say, no, it's his fault. How often when we have somebody pass away in our life, we get angry with God? How often does that happen? Do we have a right to be angry with God for having someone die? When I ask for healing and God does not heal, do I have the right to be upset that God didn't heal in the way that I thought was best? When we enter into the throne room, when we speak with God, we need to understand that we are talking to the one who was in the beginning, who created all things. He is the beginning and he is the end, the one who created all, the true King of Kings. We're talking to the one and only God, and we need to trust and we need to treat him with reverence. We're the only ones that are talking to a God that will answer. We're the only ones that have a God that answers. Let that sink in. Muslims, Buddhists, atheists, every other religion, they talk to God, a God. But is that God real? Does their God answer? Our God does answer. We just don't necessarily understand or appreciate the answer that he gives us. So next time when you're going into prayer with God, understand who you're talking to. Understand that you are going into the throne room only by the blood of Jesus. You get to go to that throne room and you get to talk with him and bring him your cares, your hurts, and your desires. And listen to him. And when he answers, because he always answers, God always answers, just doesn't necessarily give you the answer that you're wanting. He always answers. And when he answers, you understand that his answer has his purpose and his will in mind. Now, with that in mind, I want to close with one more scripture. In Revelations chapter 22, verses 20 through 21, this is going back to the God was when he created. He came as Jesus Christ, and he is coming again. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I would try to follow up with a prayer to that, but that is about as good of a prayer as I could pray. That the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.